Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and I'm so excited to be with you again this morning to share with you the truth of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God doesn't just contain truth. The Word of God is truth, and that's because ultimately it comes from God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable, is useful for us. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through His Word. It's how we know who He is. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, as you continue to read through, you'll find that God is the one that made light. God is the one that made our atmosphere, the air that we breathe. God is the one that brought into existence our earth that didn't form over millions and billions of years. God called it into existence. He formed it. He filled it. And He filled it full of vegetation and plant life and all the things that we see. He filled it with the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. He filled it with all of the animals, from dogs to cats to wolves to lions to zebras to elephants to dinosaurs. He created all of it. Okay, all of it came into being because of God's power and because of His will and because of His intellect and because of His choice, His sovereign decision to begin all these things. And mankind, God also said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so mankind is created in God's likeness too. In other words, we are distinct and different than the animals among us. We didn't evolve from animals. We are a unique part of God's creation, just like the animal kingdom is, but we are not animals. We are human beings, and that's glorious, and at the same time, it's tragic in a lot of ways. But we're here to talk about the truth of God's Word. Can't talk about all of the truth every time we get together, but just enough to keep you coming back for more and to continue to help you to be encouraged to search the Scriptures for yourself and to find answers and to ask questions and to grow in grace and knowledge. In Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 16, it talks about that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, was waiting for his fellow companions in Athens, and it says that he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Hey, now, when people turn away from God, they do one of two things. They either become atheists, they quit believing in God at all. Okay, now, the Bible says that's foolish. The Bible says that the fool says in his heart there is no God. And so we certainly don't want to be guilty of not believing in God. And what's interesting, very many times the people that say they don't believe in God, when they're put in a position in life where everything's out of control and they just can't control what's happening, it looks like it's life-threatening or ending, what do people inevitably do? They call out to God. They cry out, oh God, save me or deliver me. And they call upon God to deliver them. It's just part of who we are. God is our Father and we are His creation. And so Paul was greatly distressed to see the city full of idols. People are either atheists, they claim to be atheists, or they became polytheists. They believe in many gods. They think that everything is a god. The sun's a god, the moon's a god, that everything in creation is a god in and of itself. That's just man-made hokey-pokey, and we shouldn't listen to it. we need to realize there is one intelligent designer creator that made all of these things possible. And so Paul was distressed to see the city full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. I like that. He reasoned with. In other words, he didn't just go out and tell people, you better believe this or else. He reasoned with people. Okay? And frankly, that's what there needs to be more of. There needs to be more reasoning instead of animosity and anger and rage and frustration. Instead of just saying, well, this is what I believe and I don't care what anybody else believes. We need to be reasonable. We should believe what we believe. We should be confident in what we believe, but we should also know why we believe what we believe. So if somebody, for example, says to me, you know, I believe that there is no God, I don't just say, well, that's stupid and foolish and wrong. I would like to, and I strive to in those situations, say, why do you believe that? In other words, anybody can make a statement about something, right? But for someone to say, well, this is why I believe that. If somebody says, I don't believe in God, and I ask them why, if they say, well, why do you believe in God? I can give them a whole bunch of reasons based on everything from an intelligent creation to just so many other different pieces of evidence that we're not going to take time to look at this morning. But what I want to, again, point out to you is that we need to understand why we believe what we believe, not just that we believe it, and that makes it all right. Paul reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Well, so there's always going to be people that want to debate. There's always going to be people that want to bring their ideas and philosophies and everything. And yet, in doing that, they said, some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? In other words, when somebody says something that we don't agree with, it's much easier to just call them names. And so, presumably, to discount their position because they called us a babbler. Okay, that's what they're trying to do to Paul. They're trying to discredit Paul. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. All right, so people will say lots of cutting, rude, demeaning remarks about people and about the things that they say if they don't understand them, if they don't know what they're talking about. And this is why reason is so important. I'll tell you what I believe and why I believe it. I want to know why you believe what you believe and why you believe it. Because ultimately, we can't just all believe whatever we want to believe. That we were created by one God whom we're going to be accountable for. And he's given us a blueprint, if you would, for life. Something to follow, something that he didn't just leave us by ourselves to figure all out. But they said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Now, here's the thing. If you don't understand who Jesus is, if you don't understand why Jesus came, if you don't understand why Jesus had to die or why Jesus had to resurrect from the dead, then just like these human philosophers, you're going to think that it's just a bunch of noise and babbling as well. You're not going to understand it because you don't have a background or a foundation to understand it. So sometimes I see billboards on the side of the road that just say, believe in Jesus. Okay, well, how are you going to believe in Jesus if you don't even know who Jesus is? And it's not just a matter of, well, this is who I think Jesus is. It's what does the Word of God say about Jesus? It's important for us to ask the question, who do you say Jesus is? But if that understanding doesn't match up with the Word of God, then we need to change our understanding to fit the Word of God, not the other way around. All right? And so Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him into a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. Now, that's a great response. That's a good reaction. That's what you like to hear people say, that, hey, I want to know more about this Jesus. I want to know more about this resurrection. I'd like you to help me to understand this, even though these ideas sound strange and even foolish to me. I appreciate somebody that's an honest seeker. I don't expect everybody to believe it exactly like I do. There's lots of people that have far more understanding than I do. But I want to be able to teach and share with people what I know from the Word of God so that they too may come to understand the Word of God. And so, verse 22 of Acts 17, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." So he's trying to compliment them and let them know, hey, I can see that you're very religious. "For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." So Paul wanted them to know that God doesn't have to be an unknown God. In fact, God doesn't want his creation bowing down and worshiping idols and things that look like different parts of creation, whatever it is. Okay, one of the things that God gave in the first covenant to the Jew was, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an image of anything in heaven above or on earth below." Okay? God is not something to be put into a physical form. God is a God of creation that's to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And so Paul said, hey, what is unknown to you, I'm going to proclaim to you. And so before we go on and continue here in Acts chapter 17, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Aaron and Jeffries called "He Is." And I want you to listen to it, because as they sing about Jesus all the way through the books of the Bible, I hope that the name of Jesus and the character of Jesus and who Jesus is will become more clear to you as you study the Word of God. Let's listen this morning.
He's sovereign, Ezra, a true and faithful scribe, and Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls and lives, and Esther, he's Mordecai's courage, in Job, the timeless redeemer, in Psalms, he is our morning song, in
Proverbs, wisdom's cry, Ecclesiastes, the time and season. In the Song of Solomon, he is the lover's dream. He is, he is, he is. In Isaiah, he's Prince of Peace, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Cry for Israel. Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, the stranger in the fire. In Hosea, he is forever faithful. In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, the arms that carry us. In Obadiah, he's the Lord. Our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, the promise of peace. In Nahum, he is our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's pleading for revival. In Haggai, he restores the lost heritage. Healing in his wings. He is, he is, he is. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is God, man, Messiah. In the book of Acts, he is the fire from God. In Corinthians, the power of love. In Galatians, he is freedom from the curse of sin. Ephesians, our glorious treasure. Philippians, the servant's heart. In Colossians, he's the Godhead Trinity. Thessalonians, our calling King. And Timothy, Titus, Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, the everlasting covenant. In James, the one who heals the sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he is our shepherd.
Back this morning, and we're in Acts chapter 17. Paul is in Athens, standing up in the Areopagus, proclaiming the good news to a people who did not have a true understanding of the God of creation. Paul found an idol that was even to an unknown God. So, like we said, Paul said, so what you are ignorant of, what you don't know, this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. So just like we've already been talking about this morning, in verse 27, he starts with this: the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's the beginning. That's as far back as you can go. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so that's what Paul started with. Not gods, not just whatever, not just eternal matter. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. See, that's what man-made religion is all about, is worshiping something, whether it's themselves or some other thing, that all has to do with what they dream up. And a lot of the false gods of yesteryear and old societies were just gods who they built their temples to, and they built idols to, and they bowed down and they fed them and they gave them this and that. How silly. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. God does not need anything. God is totally self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. Somebody says, well, why did he create us? You know, he was lonely. No, he wasn't. God is God. He created us because he chose to, because he wanted to, not because he needed to, because he wanted to. And so it says, as you go on, rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Okay, this is the whole idea, that God is God and we're his creation. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. That's why we should seek God. That's why we should get to know God. That's why we shouldn't reject God. And I'm sorry that there are so many maybe experiences that people have had with church or churches or whatever, or people who claim to be followers of Christ or God that gave you a bad taste in your mouth. But know this, okay? God is not like us. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. He's the creator. He is absolutely good and faithful and righteous and just. He himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Why wouldn't we want to get to know a God like that? A God who cares about us. A God who is merciful to us. Who gave us everything that we need. Who gave us life. And so he goes on to say in verse 26, the same thing Genesis 1 says. From one man, he made all the nations. Okay, from one man, one woman, one man, he made all the nations. From mankind, okay, that's how it started. Adam was created first. Eve was made from Adam. And so from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. That's why Adam named the woman Eve. She was to be the mother of all living. Okay, we all trace our ancestry ultimately back to Adam and Eve, and God is the one that gave them life. And so from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. Okay, this is what's so silly about racism, is that we're all one race. Okay, sure, we have a different color of skin, and maybe we have different dialects and different languages and all of these different things, but there's only one race of human beings, okay? We're only one race, and that's why it's so silly to be racist or prejudiced or any of those things, because God is the one that made all of mankind, ultimately, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. Okay, God did this. Look at verse 27. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Okay, God wants us to seek him. God wants us to find, wants us to find him. And it's not like he's so far away that it's going to take some huge journey. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Okay, not a bunch of gods, a God, the God, the God of creation. And he's right there. He's right there. God is what the Bible calls omnipresent. It doesn't say that in so many or such a term, but it's the idea that God is everywhere. He's not in any one particular place because he's not a physical being. He's not a part of this creation. He is its creator. And so he can be in all places at all times. And so verse 29 says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. Okay? That's idolatry. That's just pagan idolatry. Now, a lot of people have a different kind of idolatry today. They're in love with themselves, or they're in love with money, or they're in love with power, or they're in love with some substance or whatever. But we should not think that God is like gold or silver or stone. He made all those things. He's not any of those things. Verse 30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. In other words, God was merciful and he was patient and he overlooked. It doesn't mean that he excused it. He overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. All people everywhere to repent. Okay, repent of what? Well, repent of rejecting God, for one thing. Repent of not listening to him, not following him, not acknowledging him, not trusting him. He commands all people everywhere to repent. Of what? Of our sin, of our disobedience, of our bad attitudes, of the way that we treat each other. God commands all people everywhere to repent. Verse 31, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And that man is the man, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. That's why Paul preached about the resurrection. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we can have life, that we can be raised to walk in newness of life, that we can be victorious over death, that we don't have to fear it, that God gives us power now in life, and he gives us hope of everlasting life afterwards. Friends, I am so glad to be a Christian. And I hope that this has encouraged you, if you're not, to seek after God this morning. And if you are, just to keep right on seeking and serving him because he's good. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to meet with you and get to know you a little bit better. We can serve God together and learn about him together. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going through the letter to the Philippian church that Paul wrote through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're excited about all these things. Check out our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com for a little bit more information there. And we're just excited to be able to proclaim the Word of God. I know a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people have questions. If you have any of those things, please go on our website. You can contact us there. You can call us, 702-876-3499. Love to talk to you. Love to answer your questions. Just come visit us in person. Whatever you choose to do, it'll be a great thing. And so please, until next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the rock, the solid rock, the solid foundation in Jesus Christ that is built on him. Amen.